receive our inheritance, and then we leave the location of the reception of our inheritance and live in another location outside of that source of the inheritance, thinking that the inheritance is going to last eternally, but we find out that because we're in the wrong location, that the inheritance will wear out. And the only way we could tap back into the inheritance is to go back to the source of the inheritance. And today that means we've got to be transferred. We've got to leave one location to go to the other location. See, we have to ask the question this morning, do we really know where we are as a people? Do you really know where you're living today as a family? Because Paul discloses in this Colossian verse how the Father positions us so that we might work and walk and expect to see the effects of our inheritance in our life. And if we're in the wrong position, the inheritance of God will begin to diminish and it loses its power and its authority. It all depends on where you are. And today, many have no idea. We have no recognition. If you look at Luke chapter 15 in verses 12 to 13, this is the story of the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15, if you'll put it up on the screens, please, verses 12 to 13, we see that the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. What happened? He wanted his inheritance. Notice where he received his inheritance. In the presence of the father. He received this inheritance in the presence of the... So notice what happened. And not many days after the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. In other words, he received his inheritance in the presence of his father, but then he made a determination to leave where he received his inheritance and travel and journey to another location afar. In other words, as far away as he could from where he had received the inheritance. And there, where? The place that was far away from where he received it, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. With prodigal living. In other words, to take what God has given and then make a decision to live away from him, it will eventually run out. We've got to go back to the right position to an unending supply. I believe today that there have been many people who have come to the kingdom of God. They have received Christ as their Savior. They have been given the inheritance of eternal life, all the blessing of God upon their life. But then they determined that they would travel a far distance away from the presence of the Father. And the further away they got, the quicker the inheritance ran out. And they're finding themselves now in a very, very precarious, difficult situation because they're not seeing God meet their needs. Let me make an announcement. God has not moved. God is the same as he was yesterday, as he will be today and forever. Perhaps we as a church need to evaluate where we are living. What is our proximity to the Father's house? Oh boy, that's a good place to say amen right there. Hallelujah. You see, to come to the Father and get what you need, and then to leave the Father once you've got what you need, is really defining this generation. I've been preaching this gospel for over 30 years. I have seen family and individual after family and individual come to the house of God in crises, come to the house of God in time of need, and when they received from God what they needed, they got off alcohol, they got off drugs, they got their family back together, their son or their daughter came back from prodigal living, they got the blessing of God, they got healed, they got delivered. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you can't find them. You don't know where they went. You see, they came to the Father and they got their inheritance. And now they thought because they have the inheritance in their hand, they can go and live anywhere they want to, and that inheritance will never, never be lost. I want you to know something. I don't know how much you have in way of value. I don't know how much you have in way of contribution. But if you're in the wrong place, it doesn't matter how much you're worth. You can't be spent. So what are you talking about? If you go to Luke chapter 15 and watch it with me. Because in that particular chapter, we're talking about things that were lost. Everybody say things that were lost. First of all, we find out there was a lost coin. We find out there was a lost sheep. And thirdly, we find out there was a lost son. Now notice something about the lost coin. The coin had value. It could have been a gold piece. It could have been worth $1 million. I don't know. But the fact is, its worth was of no effect because it wasn't in the hand of the manager of its potential. And so what happened is that the woman began to recognize that it was missing and swept the house looking for the value of that coin. Can I tell you that God is looking for the value of your life? God is looking for the worth that He has put in you from the time you were birthed from your mother's womb. But see, if we're out of position, if we're still living under the cover of darkness, the whole world has been looking for your gift to come to the forefront. The whole world, your family has been waiting for you to become all that God had intended. But it doesn't matter if you've been labeled with a worth value of $1 million. You're lost. There's a story of a lost sheep. The Bible tells us that the shepherd leaves the 99 to look for the one sheep. Why? Because he knows that that sheep is not in the light. That sheep is under cover. That sheep's potential has been robbed from them. Notice something. When that sheep is out of position, it may possess all the ability to reproduce, but because it's been lost, because it's been segregated from the flock, because it's not under the management of the shepherd, it becomes what? It becomes the object of the predator. It becomes that person that'll live alone, that even though they have the ability to reproduce, will never reproduce and contribute because it's lost. But the shepherd, again, like the woman, typifies God, who is seeking, who is looking, who is searching for every person's life who is in the wrong position, because God has a plan for you. And there is multiplication out of your life. There is reproduction in your life. There is contribution in your life. But because you're not in the right place, you can't make that contribution, even though you have the potential. There is such great potential in this congregation this morning. There is great potential on the screens of those children this morning. But because they're lost deep, because they're lost coins, it doesn't matter. Their life is being mismanaged because they need Jesus Christ. They need to be back in the bag. They need to be back in the hold. They need to be back in the sheepfold. Until they are, they'll never discover their worth. They'll never discover their value. And what about the son? The son was an heir. He was an heir to the father. But you see, he chose to take the blessing from the father and live in a position away from the father. Oh, church, hear me this morning. I know God is good. I know God has empowered your life and He has saved you. But do not walk in pride today, thinking that you don't need to live in close proximity to the Father. Think not that you can walk away from God and begin attending church casually, reading your Bible on occasion, thinking that you really don't need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, thinking that you don't have to be prostrate before God, filled with thanksgiving, filled with praise, that you can live on your own. Oh, child of God, be careful this morning that just because you have received the blessing of God, that you can take that and live with it on your own. You can't live with it on your own. I must stay in the presence of the Father. I must stay in the presence of the Father. Neither the sheep, neither the coin, and neither the son's value could not be realized as long as they were out of position. I have to ask myself the question, am I in right position with God? Am I in right position with God? The Bible says the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. Understand something. Darkness has power. Darkness has power. What is its power? Its power is to stalemate God's potential in your life. Darkness possesses the ability to keep you away from your destiny. And we've been transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son and His love. But you see, when we have chosen to walk back into darkness, we immediately come under the power of darkness, which is its potential, its ability to strip you and me from our destiny. It's not just about sin. It's not just about doing good or doing bad. It's talking about our eternal purpose here on the earth. You see, darkness means this. It means to cover. It means to organize the ruin of a man. So when you and I were living under the power of darkness, we were living under the organization called the ruin of man. And we were living under the cover. Under the cover. Now, I don't have to elaborate too much on that. You know, at night, that's when crime escalates. At night, if you're going to break into a house, don't do it during the day unless you're just one of those dumb criminals. Do it at night because you have the cover of darkness. If you're going to attack your enemy, don't do it at high noon. Maybe you can. You could strategize and it's going to catch him off guard. But mostly, do it like at 4 a.m. when they're just really sleepy-eyed and getting up to use the bathroom the very first time. Then attack them. In other words, use the cover of darkness. The devil uses the cover of darkness to do his work. What is his work? To strip you and I of our inheritance. To take away our potential. To take away the God-given birthing of our ability to make a difference in this generation. Church, we've got to begin to understand that we have been transferred from the power of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it's a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So I do not want to walk back into that darkness. You see, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says this. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehension and insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Paul said, listen, I want you to understand there is a way, there are means, there is a system that God has in this kingdom. I don't want you to be ignorant of it. I don't want you just to walk into the kingdom and receive eternal life and then walk out of the kingdom and go back under the cover of darkness. Because darkness has covered you, you'll never learn the ways and the means of this kingdom. And as a result, you'll stay defeated. You'll stay depressed. You'll stay sick. You'll stay broke. You'll stay disconnected. Listen, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. Paul was speaking to the church at Colossae about the centrality of Christ. Say that with me. The centrality of Christ. In other words, keep Him the focus of your affections. Why? Because if you don't, it'll be easy to drift back with the mentalities of Egypt. We were born in sin. We were brought up under the rule of the God of this world. We have learned His ways and His mode of operation. We know how it is to be a sinner. We don't even have to try. We were birthed as one. But when you're birthed again, come on somebody, when you're birthed again and you become a saint of God, then you've got to learn the ways and the means and the mode of operation of this thing called the kingdom of God. And we cannot learn it if you're out of position. So I don't want to walk back into sin. I don't want to walk back into darkness. Because if I do, I will then begin to relate to the means and the mode of operation of which I was brought up under. I have a mentality of the kingdom, but I have an experience of the world. And I refuse to live with the experience of the world as a born-again Christian. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 that we have to walk in Him. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and the deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. I cannot, by the purposes of my destiny, participate in any deed of darkness. I cannot associate my life in any dimension with a deed of darkness, because I recognize the moment that I do that, I go undercover. I also submit myself to the power of that cover, which is the organized ruin of my life. I can't do that. I can't participate to make you happy. I can't do it just so people will accept me. I can't do it just so that my friends will think I'm all right. No. You got to understand something. There is a purpose. There's a value in me. I'm a gold coin. I'm a sheep that's going to birth a lot of lambs. I have a vision for my future. And it's only when I stay in the proximity of the Father. It's not just about what I get to do and what I don't get to do as a Christian. People say, I'd be a Christian, but then I know I can't smoke and I can't drink and I can't kick the dog and I can't spit and I can't do this and I can't do that. Listen, if that's all your mentality is, you are hardly born again. I mean, you are like in kindergarten faith. My friend, come on, it's time to grow up and recognize that we have a purpose on this earth to fulfill our destiny in the kingdom of God and to manifest the glory of the Lord on the earth. Shout hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. What a powerful scripture. Paul admonishes the Corinthians in his second letter. And he begins to talk to them about how important that the God of this world recognize has blinded the unbelievers' minds. Unbelievers' minds. It's our thinking that we should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. The devil wants to keep our minds blinded. How? By the cover of darkness. When I participate in the deeds of darkness, when I participate in what the Bible calls sin, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the implication? My thinking becomes covered over. I don't have the ability to think right. Oh, thank you, sir. And because my thinking is covered over, because my mind does not think the thoughts of God, I am now under the organized ruin of my life. I am under the power of the authority to bring ruin to my life. So I've got to get my mind renewed through the eternal Word of God. Church, I'm telling you this morning, we have such potential. There are people in here that God wants to birth things through. You have value that once you're in the hand of the manager, the Holy Ghost, your life has worth. You have contribution. You're a son of the Most High God. And the way that we can begin to be rescued from this mentality is realize that, first of all, we have to obtain the knowledge of Christ. We need to know who Jesus is. Like Tina was saying earlier, there are too many people today that are biblically illiterate. We don't read a Bible, we don't know the stories of the Word of God, and we're not in the Bible. We don't spend time with it. We know more about, you know, stuff that does have no eternal significance than we do about the things that are eternally impactful upon our life. And so we've got to make a change in order for us to reach our potentials. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 to 19, that this young boy, this prodigal, when he went out in riotous living, the Bible says that he finally came to himself.
He finally came to his senses and he realized, you know what? Living out of position to my father, the proximity of my father is not a good thing. I have used up my inheritance. People have exploited me. People have used me. Listen, child of God, maybe you're feeling people have turned their back on you. People have misused you. People have misguided you. People have taken from you. Maybe it's because you were living in the wrong place. Maybe because it's time that God's brought you to the swine pit, recognizing that's what's in your mouth is a used up corn husk. And God's saying, if you'll only look to me, if you'll only think about it, if you'll only consider for a moment where you're living your life, where you are, rise up and go back to the Father's house. Hallelujah. Lift your hand up and say, Father, I'm coming back. Come on, lift up your hand and shout, I'm coming home. And so he rose from where he was and he said, even the servants of my father's house fare better than I. Maybe you're here this morning and you recognize that the way you've been living your life is not one of purpose and destiny, but it's that have been ruined and destruction and loss. Today's your opportunity. Today's your day to rise up and say, I'm going back home. The Bible says that through walking in the light as he is in the light in 1 John chapter 1 and 7, this is how we change our position. This is how we become rescued by the Holy Spirit. We, as the Word of God says, are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light. Then we have true and unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses and removes us from all sin and guilt and keeps us cleansed from sin in all of its forms and manifestations. All of its forms and manifestations. Please do not define sin and guilt as just not keeping the commandments. It is the ways and means of God's operation that we haven't learned. It's like Israel coming out of Egypt, but couldn't get Egypt out of Israel. Couldn't get the mentality and the stinking thinking out of Israel. Because God said, I've got a place for you. I've got a new position for you. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I've got a place for you. It's a land of promise where the houses are already built and the vineyards are already producing and the water is flowing in this place. I've got a place for you. You need to be transferred from Egypt, the kingdom of darkness, to what? The kingdom of his dear son, the light. And that's the promised land. God's got a promised land for you and your family. Why should we tarry here and die? Church, what a potential that we have in the kingdom of God this morning. And then through being clothed, Romans chapter 13. And verse 12 tells us that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. It's time for a change of apparel. You know, I could tell our identity by how we dress. Some people want to put on the power tie and try to tell you that they have more power than you do. In the boardrooms across America, some want to look like they came out of the GQ magazine. They want you to think that they've got lots of money and they drive their Hertz rental car, Mercedes, up to your house that weekend, trying to fool you into thinking that they got money because they're all decked out. But this prodigal had got to a point where he was living in rags, soiled clothing from the position he had taken. I know what I'm talking about. There was a day in my life when my raiment was soiled by the position that I had taken. The stench of my thinking had begun to be absorbed like a cigarette smoke exhaled in my presence at times is picked up on my clothing. And you feel like even though you weren't smoking, that you had been smoking. You see, some of us maybe haven't actually committed the sin, but you've been so close to it, your raiment reeks with the potential of that adultery. It reeks with that potential of that drug abuse. It reeks with that attention and that association of the things of this world. We've been living too close to the power of the prince of darkness and not close enough to the son of his dear love. Hallelujah. And the prodigal, what did he do? He recognized, wait a minute, I got to go back. I got to get out of this position. And so he comes home, and the Bible says the father must have been looking, because every day he must have been looking, because the father saw him afar off. The father looked down the pathway and saw him afar off and began to run to him. Didn't wait for him to get to the father. The father got to him. And the Bible said the first thing he said is, "Boy, you stink. Boy, these clothes are terrible. Somebody go get him a robe. Somebody go get him a ring. Somebody go get him some shoes. Somebody go kill the fatted calf. My son who once was dead is now made alive." Hallelujah. And what was he doing? He was putting on the robe of righteousness. He was putting on the gospel of preparation of peace shod upon his feet. He was given in the signet of authority of God himself upon his finger. And now when you saw this prodigal, he didn't look like a boy who had left his father. He didn't look like a boy that was sitting with swine. He didn't look like a boy that had been under the cover of darkness. When you looked at him, he was all decked out, walking in there with a robe of righteousness on, with a ring on his finger, and with sandals up on his feet. Come on, somebody get happy in here with me. Shout hallelujah. Come on, this is Sunday morning. I know it's cold outside, but somebody give God praise, because he's changed your identity. I don't look like I used to look. You could take a hobo. You could take a derelict under a bridge. Take him into the barbershop, cut his hair, shave his face, throw some cologne on him, put up a nice clothes on him, polish up his shoes, put him in a nice car, put a briefcase in his hand, walk him into the business world, and everybody would have a great respect for him. Not because of what he's accomplished, not because of what he knows, not because of what he says, but how he looks. I want you to know something. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to do everything. All you got to do is walk in the robe of righteousness. All you've got to do is walk in the raiment that God has given you, and all the principalities and the powers of this air have to look back and say, my God, that's a man of God right there. That's a man of God. Look at him. I could tell by how he's dressed. Watch this now, because the problem in this age, in the church, is we put more emphasis on the physical, natural raiment. If I've got a diamond ring on, if I've got two diamond rings on, if I drive a Rolls Royce, if I got two planes and not one plane, if I've got a $1 million offering in the Sunday's offering, if everybody knows my name, if I've got all kinds of books and tapes, and I have international ministry, suddenly we're saying, oh, that must be identifying the kingdom of God, man. That must be identifying a man who's walked in inheritance. While there is manifestations of God's presence in the natural, honey, you could have all the natural goods and be walking around and living in pauper's clothes, and that which is only attributed to slaves on your inside spirit. God's looking for men and women today who don't care about what it looks like on the outside. But on the inside, I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. You may not like my little Christmas sweater on this morning. You may not like my shoes. You may not like the way I look physically, but that's all right. Because if all you're doing is looking at it physically, you're not seeing what I really got on up underneath this sweater. I'm like Superman. I'm about to make a clothes change. I'm about to show out and show up for God. I'm about to let the devil know exactly what I'm wearing. Hallelujah! Look at somebody and say, I've been transferred. See you later. I'm not hanging around here anymore. I'm on my way. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm on my way. I'm going to another place. I'm not living here anymore. I'm going to another place in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Translated refers to transplanting one race into the settlement of a new territory. That's what it means. Notice what I said, the settlement of a new territory. Meaning this territory is already settled. God's already settled it. God's already settled your healing. God has already settled your provision. God's already settled your peace. And where he's moving in you, you see, we're talking about houses that are already built and vineyards that were already planted. We're talking about all the natural things. You know, the church has been so elementary in our thinking. We think that because you're born again, now you can have two houses instead of one, and you can have the blessing of God and driving a nice big car, and those things are fine. But come on now, if that's where you want to live, that's like playing with building blocks and Legos in kindergarten. I'm talking about God saying, I've already settled the land in which I'm going to take you. Your healing is settled there. Your provision is settled there. Your deliverance has been settled there. And that's where I'm transferring you to. I know I'm a little excited. I can't help it. God does this to me. I don't live like this. I don't even talk like this when I'm at home. But this transition applies something. It implies something. Say, Pastor. Okay, that's about six of you. Come on, Pastor. What's the implication? Number one, separation. From what? The things of this world. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, all things have passed away. All things are becoming new. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Separation. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Listen, don't define that by your religiosity. You're better than everybody else, self-interpretation. No, ain't nobody in here better than anybody else. Just because you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and somebody can't even find it in the Bible yet, doesn't mean you're any holier, any more spiritual, and any more powerful than God. Come on, put that religious thought out of here. Just because your ears aren't pierced or your nose is not pierced, just because you don't listen to that modern music and you think you're more holy, somebody help me, that's not what the Bible's talking about. To be separate from the things of this world is the mode of operation and the means of the thinking and the way that we live our life. I don't live that way. I'm sorry. Up is not up with me. Up is down. Hallelujah. And I know this. It's a turned upside down, turvy world. I'm telling you right now, the kingdom of God tells me that if any man will humble himself, God will lift him up. I don't have to be lifted up, because if I am, God will humble me. I recognize that if I give, it'll be given unto me. I'm not trying to hold on to something. I'm trying to give it away. To be separate from the world. To be separate from the world. Hallelujah. You and I need to be separate from the world. Number two, we also need to have a relationship. Luke chapter 15 and verse 24, the prodigal son got into a relationship with the father again. For this my son was dead and is alive again. When did he consider him dead? When he was out of his presence. He hadn't died. There was no funeral procession. There was no family marching in singing Amazing Grace. There was no preacher giving the last rites. He had been out of position. God said, you're dead. When you're dead, you can't live. When you're dead, you can't produce. When you're dead, all that your potential that you had while you were living is gone. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody says, don't let your witty idea go to the grave with you. Don't let that book that God put in your heart die in the grave with you. Don't let that architectural plan for that brand new office building that somebody, that God put in your spirit that somebody needs, die with you because you never fulfilled your purpose. Everybody talks about how we have to get it out before we die. The father said that he was dead. In other words, everything that he had as far as potential that coin had was no use whatsoever. That sheep could not reproduce. That son was out of communion and relationship and fellowship with his father. He said he was dead. Put it back up there, please. He was dead. He said, my son, which was dead, is alive again. In other words, everything that you had ever lost, all the potential that you never realized and recognized before in your life up until this point, can be brought back today. Can come alive this morning. That you can walk in that potential. Why? Because you come back under the management of God's will for your life. And they began to be merry. There's rejoicing in heaven. Not when we just have a mental assertion to Christ's lordship. No. But when you and I understand that I was dead to the potential that I had, that God created me to be. And now because I'm born again, birthed again, I've been transferred out of the kingdom, the power, the organized ruin for my life, covering all my potential and walking in the light as He is in the light. In other words, now I'm going somewhere in Jesus Christ. And I want to prophesy to everybody in 2008. I want to prophesy to you this day. I want to prophesy to you for this next year and for the year after that and for the year after that. Think not that you're dead. Think not that you cannot produce. Listen, God spoke to Abraham, the father of our faith, and He said, listen, I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how old Sarah is, because the Bible said that he was dead up on the inside and could not produce. There's a time in our life when we had become dead and unable to produce because we've been out of fellowship with God. Some of us have been dead to the presence of God. Some of us have been dead to the move of God. Some of us aren't moved with compassion. We're not moved when we see children up on the screen. We're not moved because of the lost that are dying and going to hell every moment that we breathe. There are people being ushered into eternal separation from God's presence forever. And we are the ones that have the voice on this planet to let them know that God cares and that God loves them. We become dead to the needs of a generation. We become hardened in our hearts to those that are around us that are hurting and dying, and those that are suffering, and those that are under the pressure, and those that wanted to take a gun and blow their brains out last night and the night before because they had such utter despair. Someone's over there off a heroin addict, and they're coming down, and they need another fix, and they're about to steal again, and nobody really cares. There's somebody who's been abused last night physically and sexually, and there's somebody that doesn't know what to do with their life, and they're trying to take it out on somebody else, and they're beating up a woman even as we speak. Every second, every moment in this country, the death and the life and the hell is hanging in the balance, heaven and eternity. And we are a people that file into church and file out of church and file into church and file out of church, and our hearts have become hardened and our minds become dead. And God said, my son, my daughter, wake up, come home, come back, so that you can be alive again and reach your potential and speak the word of the living God to a generation that needs to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question this morning. You're here. You're here. You're here, but where are you? You're here, but really, where are you? Have you used the Father like the prodigals used Him? Transferred into a kingdom of darkness, or transferred from a kingdom of darkness. In this kingdom of God that He has prepared for you, it's already in existence. It already has promise. It already has life. It already has healing. It already has peace. It already has all your needs met. And He wants to transfer you there. Come on, come on, come on. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your opportunity to say, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm leaving the place that I've been living, far from God. Far from God. You see, you don't have to not be born again to be in that position. You could be born again like the prodigal who was grown up in the house of God and determined to leave it. There's so many backsliders in this county that if every one of them came to church this morning, every church in Lorain County would have no room for them. There's so many backslidden families. I visited 100 families who had left this church in the number of years ago, and out of 100 people, 93, count them, 96 were not going to church anywhere. 4 was going into another church. Backslidden, away from God. Walked away from their position of inheritance. 96%. If every family today who knows Christ would come back to their position, the church would be so strong. It would be full. It would be overflowing. There would be a testimony in Lorain County, northeastern Ohio. The light of the gospel would shine. This is a kingdom that I'm inviting you today that cannot be shaken, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. It's a kingdom that will endure to the end, according to Luke 1:33. And it's a kingdom where all the citizens are not subjects, but they're kings. It's a kingdom of kings. And you've been made to rule and reign with Christ. Nobody looking around, you say, preacher, my God, I have to do something. I can't keep going down the path and the way that I've been going in my life. Pray for me. I need Christ. I need to begin living for Jesus Christ. I need to come home. This swine pit has become too uncomfortable for me. I need God. Pray for me, Pastor. All over this room, Holy Spirit, would you just bring conviction to the hearts of the people? Father, you know what person needed to be here today, and they're here. 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 You're here. God knows you're here. And God knows your heart. If you want that prayer, you want that prayer, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make my way back. Whether you're born again or not born again, I need to make my way back. On the count of three, lift that hand. One, two, three. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. Come on, hold it up high. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Yes. Hold it up. Keep it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Say, that's me. That's me. Hold it up. Hold it up. That's me. That's me. I'm coming back. Not for me, not for this congregation. Keep it up. Keep it up. But for the principalities and the powers of the air who have had their way with your life, who have kept you undercover, you're coming out and you're going to reach your potential. This is your day. This is your day. Now, if you have your hand up, then I want you to stand up. Come on, all across this congregation. If you've got your hand up, I want you to stand up. Come on, you're not undercover. You're going to begin to stand up and say, I'm here. I'm here to be counted. I'm here to let everybody know. I'm here to let the devil know. I'm here to let everybody know that I'm here. I'm here. And I'm coming out. Altar ministers, join me across the front of this auditorium. Quickly, hurry up. Those of you that are standing up, those of you that had your hand up, now I want you to come up here. I want you to walk up here to this altar. And I want you to pray. If you're a guy, find a guy. If you're a girl, find a girl. Say, I've come up here today not to play games. I've come here today to make a change in my life. I am changing the proximity of my life. I am coming to God, and I'm going to stay in God. I'm going to stay in His kingdom. Come on, encourage them this morning. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, encourage them this morning. Come on, come on. Everybody, stand up to your feet. Come on, everybody, stand up to your feet. Look at two or three people around you and say, do you need to go? I'll go with you. Come on, let's go together. Come on, look at somebody. Say, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand. Take them by the hand. Every time we do this, at least one more person comes. You be obedient. Come on, there they are right there. Anybody else? Come on. Say, I'll go with you, sweetheart. You don't have to walk that aisle alone. I'll go with you, sir. Come on, come on, come on. Ask them. Look at them. Ask them with compassion in your eyes and with sensitivity in your voice and bring them. There's another one. Come on. God is able to bring us in to His purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're never alone, sir. You're never will be alone again another day of your life. Never be alone again another day of your life. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, say it with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to forgive me for being out of position. I'm coming home. I'm coming to Christ. I'm never, never, never going to leave again. I'm going to walk with you all the days of my life. I'm going to settle in the land of your provision. I come to you now, Jesus, thanking you for forgiveness, thanking you for restoration, thanking you for wholeness, thanking you for life. Thank you for everything you've done. I receive you now as my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Kindly, if you would be seated, please. Thursday night, I'll be ministering a word of the Lord. Last Thursday night, we had a time in here that God just broke loose on thanksgiving and praise. If you did not hear that message, I encourage you to get it today. I don't know what they sell it for, but if all you've got is 50 cents, you tell them and they'll give it to you. Tell them I told them that. I want you to get this message. It'll change your life. Learning how to be thankful to God, how to give praise to God will ambush your enemy. We had a breakout time and I want you to get that message. Take time to do it. I mean, I'll tell you, I don't care how much money you have. If all you've got is a penny, if you don't have anything, tell them. And then they'll give you the copy of the message. You may have to order it because I don't know how many they prepared. But I want you to get this message. Thursday night, we'll continue in that understanding of how to release the anointing. I said, you know what, Tom, I talked about oil change. that when you run the engine too long on the same oil, it breaks down and it puts the engine at risk. Some of us need an oil change in the Holy Ghost. We need fresh oil. We need fresh oil. Look at somebody and say, we need fresh oil. Yeah. That's what we're talking about last Thursday. We'll continue in that theme this Thursday. You be here on Thursday night. So I got something else going. Cancel it. You come into the house of God, I guarantee you your life will never be the same.